We learned more in the January 6th committee hearing yesterday about just how far former President Trump went to push his lies about election fraud and his effort to upend the peaceful transfer of power. It went all the way to the top of the U.S. Department of Justice. We learned how Trump tried to enlist top officials to push his agenda, how he tried to replace the U.S. Attorney General with someone who would go along with him. It was another moment that reminded many of the Watergate hearings 50 years ago, which ultimately brought down President Nixon. Back then, testimony from John Dean, who was the White House counsel to Nixon, riveted the nation. And John Dean joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Anthony.
What struck you most about what you heard yesterday?
I have never seen a hearing in the United States Congress that was as devastating for any president at any time as the hearing yesterday.
Wow. What stuck out to you?
It showed a president who is trying to take a wrecking ball to the Department of Justice and some career seasoned lawyers, very able, came back and just were really powerful witnesses against the president and his behavior.
You know, you witnessed the so-called Saturday night massacre when Nixon fired Watergate investigators and the U.S. Attorney General resigned. That moment was very important in turning the tide of public opinion against Nixon. So yesterday, as you suggest, we heard how Trump came very close to triggering a similar constitutional crisis. He wanted to replace Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen with someone sympathetic to his false claims about election fraud. Can you compare the public response to that event 50 years ago to what we're witnessing today? Do you think the public is going to respond the same way?
This didn't provoke that kind of reaction, and this had been foreshadowed. Several newspapers had told this story in a very accurate way, but not with the drama of the witnesses actually laying it out in front of the country.
Right. So how concerned are you about that? I mean, the fact that this doesn't seem to be getting the kind of reaction that we witnessed 50 years ago.
Well, I'm not sure that the committee is not getting the kind of reaction we got from 50 years ago. I think this committee is far more sophisticated than the Senate Watergate Committee proceedings. They ground on until they got to my hearings, and then they went to all the networks, happened to cover mine because there was a little bit of drama had to build up.
There's an understatement, John Dean. So let me ask you about your hearings. When you testified during Watergate, it riveted the nation. I was quite young then, but even I remember that. You were a former White House lawyer, and you revealed that the President of the United States was lying, had participated in a cover-up of the Watergate scandal. It was a stunning moment. Have we had a John Dean moment in these January 6th hearings? And if so, what was it?
I think you've had some bits and pieces. I noticed that Cassidy Hutchinson, I believe her name is, yesterday was on camera revealing members of Congress who'd sought pardons at the very end of the hearing. They didn't build that up, but it was pretty revelatory. But just those witnesses, the three senior able lawyers, just being able to respond and lay out what had gone on and how unusual it was and unprecedented to just take the head off the top of the Department of Justice and had Trump, you know, really carried through, he probably would have lost many U.S. attorneys and more probably would have walked out.
Right. It would have been a sort of another, it would have been similar to the Saturday night massacre.
It would have been the Saturday night massacre times 100.
Wow. Wow. You have said that if Trump is not indicted, the country is in trouble. And I want to ask you about that because federal prosecutors have to weigh the idea of indicting Trump against the precedent that it would set if a current administration prosecutes a previous president. Historically, the closest we ever came to this was Watergate, but President Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon in the name of sort of closure, I guess. What do you see happening today? Make a case for prosecuting Trump.
Well, we've never had a president engage in consistent and persistent criminal behavior. Donald Trump has zero respect for the rule of law. He demonstrates it not only before he was president, during his presidency, and since his presidency, but it's his presidency we're focused on. And these are pretty serious crimes. I mean, they are not defrauding the American public is a serious crime. Defrauding the Congress is a serious crime. They have hefty sentences. And he's also done it at the state level. I happen to think that Fannie Willis is going to move first. Fannie Willis is the district attorney of Fulton County. Mm-hmm. She's a black woman, an experienced prosecutor. She's had an expert on RICO law, state RICO law, and Georgia has a dandy statute, a very tough statute. And I think she's going to move first, and I think she's going to move before the end of the month. And that's going to break the dam about, well, there's something sacrosanct about being a former president. You can't touch him. And there just shouldn't be.
The case that you're specifically talking about is that infamous phone call where President Trump tried to ask for Georgia election officials to find him the votes to essentially deliver the victory.
That is correct.
Right.
That is part of the case.
Yeah.
The case is far broader. He talked to other people. He sent people down to try to influence the Georgia election. He really leaned on Georgia of all the states where he tried to turn the vote. That was where he focused a lot of his attention. She's got a very powerful case. So we'll see. And that will end the precedent that former presidents can't be indicted.
I want to ask you one last question. You have said the truth is your ally. If you have the truth, you have a partner. But there's a challenge around this, and that is today a third of the country believes a lot of things that are not true. Polls show that a majority of Republicans believe the big lie about the election. You've written about this. What do we do about it?
Yeah, I was fascinated by these personalities. I first encountered them at the Nixon White House, who click their heels, salute, and go do whatever the president says, and then believe in the president. Today, some of my former colleagues believe deeply that Nixon was railroaded, that he did nothing wrong, and they want to believe that he never was involved in the cover-up. And so, but Trump made it okay to be an authoritarian, and now we have a whole party that is looking and grasping authoritarian. And I got to tell you, authoritarianism and democracy do not work well together.
Yeah, that's clear. Final question, John Dean. I think one of the big lessons that Watergate taught us 50 years ago, even presidents can be corrupt. And the media plays a big role in holding presidents' feet to the fire. 50 years later, as we're watching these hearings, what's the big lesson we're learning here, do you think?
One of the lessons is that presidents sometimes can't be held responsible. If we do not hold Trump accountable, presidents are above the law. It's just that simple. Mm. As some people have said, you're damned if you indict him, you're damned if you don't indict him. It's a very tough choice. But for the future of democracy, I don't think there's any question that Merrick Garland has got to indict this man and hold him responsible and accountable.
All right. Well, that's John Dean. He served as White House counsel to President Richard Nixon and testified against him in the Watergate hearings 50 years ago. John Dean, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you.